Welcome to The Running Public with Bracken Crocker and Kirk DeWint.
Whether you are a brand new runner or you already have a great mustache,
we're here to help you increase your running knowledge and present it at a practical level. This is The Running Public. When you're ready to take your training or racing to the next level, go to therunningpublic.com. We have both monthly subscription training plans, $19.99 a month, and Bracken and I both offer one-on-one customized coaching. Again, go to therunningpublic.com and check out our offerings. Here we are, Bracken. We did it. We're recording.
Yes, we are. You have a fine mustache today.
Freshly shaven, actually. I figure since I'm hitting the trails this weekend, I got to have a trail stash to go along with it.
Extra dirty.
Does that track for you?
Absolutely.
Okay. Well, I'm going to apologize to you listeners in advance because normally we have a long Saturday episode or Friday episode for you for your long run, but today's going to be 50 minutes to an hour because I didn't have power and they just turned it back on. And now I'm in a tight time window. So thank you for understanding. Bracken, I know you're just waiting like a puppy dog for me to give you the green light today.
Just tail wagging, staring at the door.
Yeah.
You know what I did with my time?
What? What'd you do?
I purchased 300 pounds of additional weight for my weight room.
Sweet. Bumper plates or traditional iron weights?
Traditional.
Don't you already have a few hundred pounds of weights for your weight room?
I do, but I don't have enough of each plate type for Hyrox work. Okay. I want to be able to have sleds loaded up and my loadable dumbbells or farmer's carry handles loaded up so that I don't have to do long, extended switches in between. And then just convenience. I have these loadable dumbbells from Titan, and they're fantastic. But if you don't have the same size plates on each side, even if you load up the weight like 2 10s and 4 5s, it's sure. It's awkward. It's different. So anyways, that there was a little deal happening on some plates, so I got the exact same plates that I already had. So it's the same size, same diameter, everything. It'll be good.
Brand new?
Yeah, these ended up being under $1 a pound. With everything, with discounts and everything. So
that's a steal.
Not gonna beat that.
Speaking of deals, I'm sure he messaged you as well, but Marquette the Spartan, Marquette Shoemate, did he message you about a sweet deal on the Saucony Endorphin Pro 3s?
He, amongst others.
Okay. Well, I feel like we should let our listeners know. If you go to Saucony.com and you have to go through their website, 40% off the Saucony Endorphin Pro 3, only in their like magenta pink color for both men and women. But that's a great deal. Correct. It brings a $225 shoe down to like $135 or something, $130. And if you're curious about the Endorphin Pro 3s, they got great reviews. People love them. You have a pair, Bracken, I believe. I went on there and ordered a pair. Marquette owes me $135 for letting me know.
Tell them the invoice is on the way.
Nothing like a magenta pink shoe for the rack.
It's got to be fast.
That's true. You can't run slow in pink shoes. What do you want to cover today? So Bracken and I have a rough plan, but I figure we'd get you guys, the listening audience, kind of caught up on what we've been up to. I have a race this weekend. Bracken's kind of been dissecting and mathematizing his training, I feel like. You're starting to think about long-term builds again in a process. So I figure we talk about that a bit today, maybe walk you through our thought processes in our own training, and then again, my lead into my race this weekend. And then we do have a queue of listener questions. I don't know if we'll get to them today. It depends how long-winded we get talking about ourselves, which can happen. So
it's the first time for everything.
So here we are. And I want to do something real quick, and then we'll kick to you right away off the top. But we have a YouTube channel now. Mm-hmm. And we have like 38 subscribers already, Brack, and we're really blowing up the media world. So,
do we get to retire soon?
I think like today. Yeah, I think we made it.
Nice.
Yeah, so we're putting our episodes up for viewing or listening on YouTube now. So we're just at The Running Public, or you can look up The Running Public podcast. And we're on YouTube, and I'm sure you're sick of us because you get us twice a week already. But if for some reason you want to look at our ugly mugs while we talk, and with most of our guest interviews coming up, you can now watch it on YouTube. We're trying to advance the running public here, and we're behind the game, but it's better late than never. So YouTube, go look us up and give us a subscribe. What do the influencers say, Bracken? The douchey ones? Smash that subscribe button. Smash it.
Go ahead and smash that button.
That's what the douchebags say. Smash that button. Don't smash it. Just hit it politely.
So we're going to say it every time.
All right. Anything else? Any other housekeeping?
I guess kind of leading into what we're doing now, night school wrapped up last night. Mm. And in terms of a first effort, it was a lot of fun and seemed to be a success on both ends. It was one of those things where even if not every session of the 4 weeks met everyone's needs every time, there's just so much that went on that everyone got their money's worth. That I can guarantee. I can't guarantee it went off without a hitch or that it was perfect or that everyone left every night like, man, that was the best thing ever. But at least one or two of the sessions hit home. And for that $99 price point, we all left happy. So for future courses, it was very helpful to go through this process and refine a bit what we'll offer next time.
Would you want any feedback or would you rather not? I assume yes.
From you or from others?
From others.
Okay. Well, you and I sent out this morning a survey to all the participants, an exit survey where they can do their worst. And yeah, and I asked for it last night as well, that the only way this improves each time is through them.
Great. Well, I actually haven't seen the sessions because you haven't sent them to me, but I will review, see what nuggets are in there. And it'll be fun to take the class, even though I wasn't there for it. And I'd like to be in whatever we do next. But okay, any other wrapping thoughts on night school? I mean, you probably could have extended it out weeks, I would assume, if you had to.
Yeah, and each session ended up going longer each week. Sure. So this could have been a 5 or 6 week course to keep it more manageable in terms of time commitment per night. But the fact that it was all recorded and sent out after the fact was kind of the great equalizer. So I learned a lot from it. I hope others did as well, but I enjoyed it. And there was some interest in a next session. So you and I will have to get working.
All right. That sounds great. Let's pivot then to you, what you have going on. Because you and I talk a little bit off mic about, like, usually what happens is Bracken and I'll hop on here. We will BS for what, maybe 10 minutes about like life or our workouts or whatever. And then we start talking like after we hit the record button. So we get caught up, I feel like, on each other's training, where our fitness is really at, any injuries or niggles or nagles we're monitoring, our hopes and dreams and, you know, quandaries. So, why don't you talk to the good people of the running public about where you're at with your training, how you're feeling about your fitness, any of your like immediate or not so immediate plans. Because I don't know if you mentioned to the public about your snafu you ran into coming up here in June. And so that might be worth a conversation quick and then how you're pivoting. So tell me what you have going on.
I came up on night school last night, so I answered it for those individuals there. So there are some people who know about it and one or two athletes know. But I am not going to New York City for High Rocks, New York. Just one of those life things. This can't be repeated to my son because he doesn't, he would be upset about it. But so for all of you out there who follow Braden on his non-existent social media, don't DM him. His race season outdoor starts up and the boy is dead set on becoming a professional race car driver. He's 11 years old and I was dead set on becoming a professional athlete as well at 11 all the way through about 30. And and he has a karting race that weekend. And he has a 14 race schedule. 12 are mandatory towards being part of the point series. And we are already out of town for a family vacation on two of the dates. So with those two dates wiped out, he has no more drop weekends. And so if I go pursue my athletic pursuit in New York, he gives up on his, and it seems like I'm in the stage of life where that's the wrong call. So I am pulling the plug on New York, which means that if you are looking for a ticket to the pro division, I have one for you, but I am not whatsoever pulling the plug on training for High Rocks. It's got its teeth sunk deep into me, and I'm training as if I'm still competing in New York, and I will do a sim on that day and then revamp and go after attempt a big performance either late summer or early fall.
It's funny how timing works out that way. Funny might be the wrong word, but ironic, I guess. You know, you're feeling relatively healthy. I don't know if we need to get into that or not. You've been putting together some decent training at times. You commit to a big race, and then as soon as that's committed to, the other rug gets pulled out. But you're making the right choice. You're never going to regret that decision. Never. So it is what it is. I haven't combed through the schedule really after Worlds, Hyrox Worlds. Is there many offerings when you look at mid, late summer? I don't think there is, right? There's hardly anything.
No, New York is the last stop in the U.S. prior to the summer break. So the options are either wait until October or go overseas. So we haven't had a family vacation in over a year now. So I'm not against doing that, especially if that June sim goes well. I'll do it at a location, either at Chad Coleman's place or someplace where it's a setup that you can trust for what it can predict you can do. But it's just one of those things. We buy a cart, register, and the schedule arrives in my inbox 2 weeks after or 4 weeks after signing up for my own race. So it's unforeseen, and I feel good about it. The only frustration is that there's like a 4 or 5 month gap before the next U.S. one.
Well, right, and that would lead me, like, if I were in your shoes, you know, there'd been, like, first of all, everybody went through COVID and races were canceled that they were training for. If you race out in California, I mean, there has been weather cancellations nonstop, especially through the fall, winter, and spring months. Like, I've had some races on athletes canceled 2 or 3 times and repivoted. So that happens occasionally, or an injury pops up or whatever. So my question for you is then, does it change? Like, you know, when somebody, I don't know, takes the wind out of your sail, or your motivational fire can ebb and flow, what did it do for you? Was it like a punch to the lungs, or was it fine? Was it like, okay, great, I have more time? Like, what are you feeling there?
I was kind of crabby for a day or two, probably 2 days if you ask Lisa. It was frustrating because of the schedule, not because of Braden's racing or because of not racing, frustrating because there wasn't another race to pivot to right away. But I quickly came around on the idea that my running improves when I train for one thing that's months away, whether it's Tennessee Mile or Spartan World Championships or my first ultra, that 50K I ran. I always PR running along the way. I do well with long builds. I've talked about this before. It gives me something to pursue, but it also, because I'm pretty good at not overreaching in workouts, I'm worse at sharpening than I am at building. So I was trying to overreach a little bit, as we had talked about with some of my cluster training I was doing for New York, and I got to just pull the pin on that and train long term. So I'm excited. Like I said, I went out today and got 300 more pounds of weights, and
sweet.
I have a new rope for my sled, and I'm excited for Hyrox, and I'm excited to do it in a way that benefits my running, because you can do it two ways. You can do it through the bulk pony approach, where you put on mass and just all out power and you try to beat the race into submission, or you can do it the more the runner style, whether it's Dylan Scott or Rich or Palio, even like a Chris Roglosky or someone like that. The people who come in without looking a ton different, but muscular endurance on repeat while working on power as well, but not with the intent of gaining weight, with the intent of just gaining power and staying power and muscular endurance. So that's the route I'm taking, because that's the route that'll also let me improve my running along the way. So I'm excited for that process, and I don't mind a long build, and it'll allow me to jump into races all along the way. Trail races, I need to do a DECA, an OCR or two, maybe even an ultra, because Hyrox makes you pretty durable. And if you don't get large during it, staying power is the key to my running anyway.
Yeah, given your history the last few years and your inconsistent running due to surgery and injury, I don't think the layering in muscle or pounds on top of a run engine that you haven't been able to like curate really well wouldn't make sense. So I agree with you about like maintaining as close to ideal body weight and just work an engine. I like that process though, because for you, I feel like if your run fitness improves, like it's going to directly translate to Hyrox. And so the one thing we have for us is we don't have a lot of offerings in the Midwest as far as like road and trail in the winter months, but we make up for it with just a saturation of opportunities like spring, summer, and fall. And I have a few athletes who are doing hybrid, but running is their focus because it needs to be in order for that's their, you know, barrier to success really. And that's kind of the plan for them too. It's like pick a number of like, let's go hop in the local 5K and 10K. You have a trail race that kind of excites you. Let's do it. Let's still move the running needle forward and in our build to better hybrid racing. And I feel like that's kind of what you're outlining.
Yeah. In the threshold night school course was really beneficial for me as well, because I went back through and reread everything I've ever read about threshold and then tried to find newer, more current sources. Mm-hmm. And the more I read it, the more I just think, man, this is so good for me as an athlete. And so I'm excited to really keep my training in my racing. So train all the way through, staying within myself, working muscular endurance, and then use local races to get all the nasty stuff in. I like that style of training. That's how I did it for my first, back in 2012, the first Spartan Race World Championship I ran, which was my first season of training post-collegiately. 2011 was like a semi-lost year, and then 2012 I was back on it. And that big, long goal, training for a three-hour mountain race, kept me in that 10K-ish to half marathon intensity range a lot. But I did every local race I could find along the way without a taper, just at like a B-plus effort kind of thing, but just used it. And I'm excited to do that again. So pouring back through the local races, getting stuff down on my schedule. I have a 5K road race on my schedule, a one-mile road race. I have a potential six-hour trail race, just getting vert. I have a couple local 5 to 8 mile trail runs tentatively scheduled in. And then there are two track races I'd like to hit as well. So a lot more racing than typical for me. I might race 8 or 10 times this spring and summer, but building towards one big or two probably big Hyrox fall efforts. See what I can do in that venue.
I love it. I think there's a time and a place where you should strike with calculation, and you should strike not infrequently, but when you strike. And then I think there's a time and a place or a season of life where you should just start throwing darts at the wall, so to speak, with racing, because it's going to progress your game as a result. And I think you're probably in that rare boat where you almost have to go back to the beginning. Like when you first started running OCR and Spartan and you raced a whole bunch and you got yourself into really good fitness and sharp for those sort of things. Of course, you overraced, and that's not what I'm outlining now, but almost like because of your last few years, like jumping in a race every few weeks might actually be the best thing for you, not only for fitness, but to like get comfortable, like being uncomfortable and those things that like you actually do forget about if you don't expose yourself to it often enough.
Yeah.
So I could see that like if I were in your shoes, I might consider it, even though you know it'll be maybe humbling at times. I mean, or we could just get together.
It's more exciting.
Okay, well, that's a good way to look at it.
And we should get together.
Or we just get together for like man weekend after man weekend, and we just drive each other into the dirt like 4 weekends this summer. That would be good.
That would be. But I plan on running that 5K up by you this summer.
Did you see the schedule came out?
I did.
Yeah. We should just give another little announcement for the listeners then, because the schedule was just dropped. So we're going to let you know about deals and things going on. The Tracksmith Twilight 5000 is a high-level, highly organized track race that comes to a lot of the major cities, not only in the U.S., but across the world, Europe. I think they have some in Australia. Like, they're all over. And they're professionally timed, professionally run. If you're a 40-minute 5K-er or a 14-minute 5K-er, you will get seeded by your time. Yes, there's 40-minute 5K-ers racing these things on the track. So they just released their, I think it was this week, they released their season. And they came to the Twin Cities twice last year, but they're only coming once this year in August. But they have a Chicago race, which is close for you. And I'm assuming you may be eyeing that one as well.
Yeah, potentially. And part of it is I saw Glenn Race ran like 15:53 at Carlsbad.
Unbelievable.
That got me all fired up.
At like 60 years old.
Yeah.
Ish.
Yeah, they wheeled him to the start line.
Yeah. Wheels are cheating. I consider wheels cheating in a foot race, but maybe Glenn doesn't.
Yeah. Well, Glenn's a scumbag. We all know that.
Half the people listening have no idea what we're talking about, but that's okay. An older fella, 45
they
or so.
They do know. We interviewed Glenn.
I know, but we have... Listen, we have a whole...
You should go back and listen to Glenn.
...host of new listeners. This week alone, we have like 400-plus new followers on our social media who are probably listening to us for the first time. And now you just sound like a jerk. Bad-mouthing old man Glenn.
Well, Glenn's an awful human being, and they need to learn that sooner than later.
Glenn Race, we interviewed him once or twice. I forget. Go back and listen to those episodes.
One of the nicest guys you'd ever want to meet.
Oh, painfully nice and funny.
I guess I'll just provide updates on my overall fitness and health. I was dealing with a little knee thing, and it is improving, and my fitness is feeling as good as it's felt in a long time. When you and I first ran together during our retreat weekend, it was a system shock, and I felt much better for it afterwards. And now, probably the last 6 quality sessions I've run, they've all been hitting sessions I've been hitting, but the pace just keeps bumping up. So I'm in that space now where I'm able to increase the pace and feel the same effort, hit the same heart rate or lower, and significantly quicker than, like, say, even what I was running in fall right before doing that Michigan Spartan, where I was able to perform a bit. My run metrics are significantly up, and my rowing is starting to have some improvement showing, as well as kind of everything I'm working on is all starting to move forward at the same time, where walking lunges with the heavy weights is my pauses are happening dozens of reps after they used to. Wall balls are, for the first time in my life, improving. So overall, things are going well, and body composition is improving as well. So fitness is all trending in the right direction right now, which makes giving up the race and not having a backup, that was the frustration. Also, it has become a bit of a trend to not make it to the start line for me. But this one, I could go race right now.
So what do you credit improvement to?
I mean, I'm over 20 weeks straight of some sort of consistent training. I think I did 17 of like medium training, and now I've probably put another 10 or 11 past that. I'm probably getting up close to 30 weeks. I lost like a week to sickness, and then I lost a week to my knee. But outside of that, it's been really, really consistent, getting at least 5 days a week in, getting at least 2 threshold workouts a week. And most of them were undershooting intensity early on, but now I'm starting to hit real workouts and still feeling good. So just consistency. It's not rocket science with me. And it's not all roses, but I'm feeling fit. This today, sitting in front of you, is the most fit I've been in 2+ years.
I love that. I love hearing that. And that's the answer for most. It's not rocket science for anybody. Yes, you guys listen to this podcast and think we're going to like pull the curtains over from your or out from your eyes, and you're going to unveil these secrets to success. But like, no matter what we talk to you about, all of it really boils down to consistency and a plan. Whether you're following what we talk about or you're following something else, it's like continue showing up and have just some part of like be some sort of student of what you're doing, and it doesn't have to be glorious. It just has to be consistent. But that's good. That's good. And the only way you can be consistent is by being healthy. And the only way you can be healthy is by continuing making the right decision if you're teetering on the fence. And you've had to do that, which you said it hasn't all been butterflies and rainbows or whatever, but you've had many moments or weeks or a few days at a time you said, I can't do something today, or I can't run for the next week, which you've had a couple bouts of that in your build, being smart. Mm-hmm. And then look, here you still are able to access your running. And I think so often people, we push it 1 day too many or 2 days too many, and then it's weeks off or months off, or then it's the PT cycle or the, you know, the overuse injury cycle. And so you've been actually very, very, very smart. You've taken your own advice, actually, which is hard to do on multiple occasions, right? Yeah, you practice self-restraint. And that's the only reason you're really healthy right now, I think. Yeah. Healthy-ish right now. So it's a lesson I've had to learn too many times, unfortunately, before it stuck.
Yeah, and it's funny what healthy at 36 is compared to healthy at 26 or 16. Yeah. Like, nothing's stopping me from training right now. I'm monitoring multiple things because that's what happens when you train for events. Like, my lower back's giving me issues every few days. Part of it was clustering my Hyrox work with intensity and weight. Now that I'm backing off of that slightly, it's improved slightly. So yeah, there are some things always going on. That I sprained an MCL. That cost me. But I was able to still train other things through it. So nothing set me back to the point where I'm going to lose weeks. And that's just a huge win for me.
Yeah. Oh, and it's like, if you're really chasing things fairly aggressively and you are riding the line, which most of you listening are, we are as well at times, it's not like if something's bothering you, is what is bothering you and how bad is it? It's like, how many things am I keeping? Is the yellow light blinking slowly on? And you just have to monitor. And if one of them turns into a red light, you listen to it for a while and get ahead of it and then return. I have a list of probably three or four things that are constantly in my rotation. And sometimes they're all barking at once. And sometimes the sun shines on me and none of them are bothering me. But right now it's like two of them, right? I'm monitoring carefully. And so that's a pretty normal, unfortunate part of like the endurance space. Like, people don't talk about that nearly enough, but I do think it's like dealing with discomfort is kind of normal. It's the subjectivity of like knowing when you need to listen to it and when you should say, shut up, go back in your hole. Not listening to you.
Like, for example, yesterday I had 10 by 3 minutes at 10% incline. And in the middle of the ninth, I jumped off the treadmill and converted it into a 1,000-meter row. And then did my final rep as a 1,000-meter row as well. Because I just felt two areas that I didn't want to feel. And I didn't know, like, is this going to work its way out? Or is this the start of it tightening back up? And so just right there in the moment, pull the plug.
Beautiful.
So that's the kind of thing that I'm doing now that I wouldn't have done in the past.
And you had an exit strategy. It wasn't like, I'm going to just go sit now and pout about it.
Yeah.
Like, I got right away, boom, over, plan B, done, easy. And you have that all at your disposal in your gym, but like, there you go. No harm, no foul.
And that was the thing I used to fail on. I'd either push through it or I'd just say, screw it, the workout's done.
Yeah.
It's good. But you, Sir DeWint, you have not only a race this weekend, but a record attempt you're going for. And this is something you've been open with about from the start, that when you turned 40, you were not backing away from competition. You were honing in on, I'm going to try to go after every master's record I can get in my area. And this is your second attempt at that. And that is, by the time this comes out, it'll be tomorrow. The race will be tomorrow.
Yes, it will. Yeah. Yeah. I guess, you know, we've talked about it a few times over the years, and I'm sure some of the listeners are sick of, like, you know, talking about aging, the aging athlete, but that's just where I'm at. And I think it's important to hang on to like very tangible goals. Not only do I think I can run my best on any distance right now, other than like the mile probably, or anything less than a 5K. We have just like, you know, two big trail races put on by Rocksteady Running in the Metro, and they're well run, they're well attended. They've had some fantastic athletes over the years come and set amazing course records on the overall course records and the master's course records. And last year, this race, I broke one of the course records in July last year at the Afton 25K. I just turned 40. I was a month and a half into being 40, and I broke the record by 21 seconds in an hour and 40 race, which is cutting it pretty close. I was all out mile kicking through the finish line. And I think I hit my max heart rate in recent times, like 194.3 for me. That's pretty big, especially in such a long race. And then this weekend I have the Zumbro Trail 17 miler, which is a pretty aggressive trail. You have not run on this trail, I don't believe, Bracken.
I don't think so.
Takes place in Bluff Country in like southeast Minnesota. It's about 2,300 feet of gain and loss in 13 miles. and then 4 miles of pancake flat service road to finish, which is actually where the race can be made or lost, depending on what legs you have left. But the Masters course record is 2 hours flat and like 16 minutes. I've run under that time once. I ran 156 on this course.
2 hours flat in 16 minutes or 2 hours flat in 16 seconds?
16 seconds. Did I say minutes?
Okay.
2 hours flat in 16 seconds. The big thing for those of you who race trail is course conditions matter if you're chasing time. Like placement, whatever. Everybody runs that same course on the same day. You know, 1 year on the course, I ran 203 and change. 1 year later, I run 156. And I think I ran better when I ran 203, but there was mud up to my knees at points, right? It was a wet year versus a dry year. Well, the weather gods have bestowed upon us warm weather, dry trails, and good conditions for this weekend, and it looks like it's going to stay that way. So conditions should be primed to run fast. It's just if I can go out and execute. I'm fit. I've strung together. I had COVID in January, and then after that, I got a sinus and lung infection, so I went on 3 rounds of antibiotics to clear it all. Then one of the antibiotic side effects strained my calf, which took me out for like a week and a half. We don't even need to get into that. And then I put in 8 weeks of 2-plus-hour long runs and 2 quality sessions in a row. I'm on week 10 now after getting, in quotes, healthy. So me being consistent with 2-hour long runs every weekend and 2 quality sessions every week, I was going Tuesday quality, Friday quality, Saturday long run. That's just a recipe for me to get really fit. And I have no shame in saying that. And I've managed to stay relatively healthy. So I've deloaded a little last week. I'll deload the rest of this week. And we'll see. Race is 2 days out. The cards will fall where they fall. I've felt absolutely horrendous in my last 2 quality sessions, which means I should be due for a good race. That's how it usually goes for me. It just does, and I don't know what it is. It's part of my body slowing down and fighting it, and probably all the residual training catching up with me, and now it's soaking in this last week and a half, and it should hopefully come together on Saturday. So that's my master plan. I mean, will it go that way? We'll see, but it's set up for me to have a chance to break it. And then from there, I don't know what I'm going to do. Primary goal is still break 15 at 40 years old. So then after Zumbro, I'll race an Afton Trail race again because I love the race in the midsummer. And then I'd like to spend 2 or 3 months chasing that 15-minute 5K. So I'll pivot. I'll run trails through like it's like 4th of July weekend, and then I'm going to make a hard pivot and go all in. Probably go listen to our How to Run Your Best Mile episode, sharpen up on my, you know, craft, and then implement. So that's what I got going on. And this race is kind of cool because if anybody's in the Midwest, if you're Wisconsin, Iowa, even Illinois, it's fairly accessible if you're in the North, and then Minnesota, they have a 100-mile option that goes off right away in Friday morning. You have a 50-mile option, 34, and then 17. So there's a ton of runners. These fields are capped at like 400 each. So there's ends up being a lot of people on this trail, and it's just a great venue, great organization. They do a good job. So if you're in this area, you should look up Rocksteady Running. They have the Superior Trail races they run as well. So it's just, you know, when you go to trail race, it's good vibes, it's good people, it's easy going yet competitive. Mm-hmm. It's like the perfect combination. So that's what this weekend is.
How technical will this weekend be compared to Superior Trail Race?
Not as technical, not even close. There's sections of quarter mile at a time, but have you been up to the Superior Trail ever?
No, but I've watched enough running and race videos of that because that's a race I'll do someday. So I'll run an ultra on the Superior Trail. So
not even close.
I've recce'd that digitally.
If you're going up or you're going down in Zumbro, it's technical and gross and big steps and rocks and roots and watered out, you know, trails. But when it's rolling and flat, it's pretty cleaned up. So not very technical.
Okay. So I have a few questions
for you. Saucony Endorphin Edge. I figured that'd be one of your questions.
That is. So we'll cut to that one. What shoe are you wearing and why?
I'm wearing the Saucony Endorphin Edge. I haven't raced in a pair of Sauconys. I couldn't tell you how long, but they're going to make their debut this weekend.
Probably since your Peregrine days.
I never raced in the Peregrines, though. I just trained in those.
Oh, I thought you maybe did for Tahoe one year.
No. This will be my first race of my life in Sauconies, actually.
Congratulations.
Thank you. You're thinking if you've ever raced in Sauconies.
I have. I was trying to think how many times.
The Saucony Endorphin Edge. So I'm a big... So I think my philosophy on longer stuff being maybe like an hour and a half or more, I think more shoe is better than less. For me, I'm 172 pounds. I'm not your piddle paddle, 125 pound springy gazelle. You know, I got a little more weight on me for the speed I run. And so more shoe tends to be better for me. And I can run fast in more shoe. It just seems to save me the back half. And so I've been running in, I really liked the Evo Speed Goat. When they discontinued that, I conceded to the Tecton X. And then from there, I realized I really enjoyed the Speed Goat 5 more than any of them for anything like 90 minutes or more. There's other shoes I'd choose for shorter races. And then I tried the Endorphin Edge, and it is a firmer ride than the Speed Goat or Tecton for sure. It's harsher on your foot, but there's notably more return. It also gives back more, meaning it feels like there's just a little bit of propulsion in that plate that you don't feel in the Hokas. And so I'm going for speed. I'm not messing around. The foot shoe felt good for a 2 hour long run or two in prep. So I'm going to do that. Going with the Edge.
And as long as we're shouting out sales, that shoe has been discounted recently as well into the 130s, I believe, or 140s. So yeah. Bang for your buck, that's a high-end racing shoe for the trails now under the price of what a normal max cushion training shoe would be for the trails. So maybe worth checking out.
And I don't have a lot of experience with like super shoes on the trails. I've run in the Tecton X and now the Saucony Endorphin Edge. I can't feel the plates in the Tecton X. They feel nice and soft and comfy, and they're a nice smooth ride. They're light, they're airy and flowy, but I don't feel the plate. In the Saucony Endorphin Edge, I feel like, oh, it's giving me...
Well, they have no curve to them.
Right. In the Endorphin Edge, I feel a little bit of something. Like, right, just, it's not much, but it's a little. It's nothing compared to a Road Super shoe, but it's something. And so That's my comparative. Have you found that? Have you tried any trail shoe... carbon super shoe on the trail that you're like, oh yeah, there it is?
Yeah, no, not that there it is. I say the Endorphin Edge is the one you can feel that there is curvature to it, mm-hmm. and a bit of a tipping point, but it's like a two-thirds plate. It doesn't run the whole length of the shoe, and it's not as drastic as even something like their Endorphin Pro. So no, I'm not a believer yet in extreme carbon for the trails.
Yeah.
Because if it's smooth enough, you can probably get away with a road shoe. And if it's technical enough, you're not going to spend enough time using that rocker or the return of the plate to offset how much time you're going to be doing technical. So I don't think it's there yet. But there are a few shoes that I'm interested in trying that I think are getting closer.
Listen, I just bought the Saucony Endorphin Pro on sale. Not with the roads in mind. I'll just tell you that. I bought it with Afton Trail Race in mind.
I like it.
Because they got some decent grip in the front. The heel's going to slip a little, but uh-huh. I didn't buy that with the roads in mind. I'm going to go race up the trails in my hot pink shoes if I can make them work, because I think they can for certain styles. So I agree with you.
Yep. There you go. All right. Fueling, 17-mile race, correct?
Yeah. 17 and a half is what it, something changed. Yeah.
You're not bringing any fuel to take you past 2 hours. It is 159.59. That is the cutoff. There's no sense bringing more fuel, because if you're spending more time on course at that point, it doesn't matter if you're cramping or bonking or not. You've already missed your goal. You're there for one reason. So how are you feeling? What are you carrying?
So I was carrying my 16-ounce water bottle. That's gotten me through the 2 hours all 3 years I've done this race, which is not much, but it's supposed to be warmer, so it's a risk. Luckily, my wife is just the best. And she does a great job of running out on course and figuring it out and cheering and filming. She likes to do that. And she'll have a extra water bottle with her to hand off to me if I get desperate, so I won't have to refill, which is really nice.
Nice.
And it's the first time I'm going away. I've been a big fan of the Chews for years. I have no problems. You know, most people don't do them anymore. I still enjoy them. I stuff them in my cheeks like a chipmunk, chew and convenient, and they work. It's first race I'm going away from them. I found something I think might be worth and I like better. So I'm going with the BPN Go Gel, of all things. Have you tried?
BPN? No.
It's like no other gel really I've had. It's like a lemony applesauce that it's not gooey or jelly. It's just like an applesauce conglomerate, 100 calories, straight carbs. It's one of the first, other than like a liquid nutrition, where you eat it and you don't know anything's in your body, right? You can't tell it's gone in there or anything. And I notice an immediate hit from it within 3 to 5 minutes. I can feel it, and it sits well, and it's a little more convenient than the chews. And so BPN Go Gels, they come at a cost. They're not a cheap product. I see you're looking them up. I'm impressed, and I've gone through Spring Energy. I've gone through traditional gel and Clif products and all of them, and some of them are all right, but this one stands out to me above almost anything else I've tried as far as how it sits and how it eats. It eats nice, Bracken. So that's my plan.
It's what you got to have. It's got to sit for you. So we have 100 cal per packet. Got 24 grams of carbs. So it's on the low end of cal and carb.
Yep.
Bit of sodium, bit of calcium, bit of potassium, no magnesium. And what is the, how do they source this?
What are you looking for specifically?
I'm trying to see what their shtick is for what form of sucrose they use.
Oh, sure. I could grab a packet and tell you, but I think the important.
Oh yeah. There's a, I'll hold it up to the screen. You can kind of see that it's
applesaucy,
like a little gritty, but runny.
Yeah. It's nice. Squeezes out nice.
Applesauce.
Yeah. It didn't look very tasty when you held it up to the screen, but it is, I promise.
No. Although I don't think I could dump out any gel and take a picture of it and be like, you want some of that?
That's a good point.
I don't think it's very enticing.
It's a good point. I've been impressed with them. So,
all right. Ingredients. Apple juice concentrate, brown rice syrup. So they use brown rice syrup. Mm-hmm. Apple puree, purified water, lemon juice concentrate, sea salt, ground cinnamon. So they go with brown rice syrup.
Yeah. Very clean, simple, low on the ingredients list. So for anybody, I mean, I think they are a little pricier than a lot of the other like mainstream stuff. If you're going to go with like Morton or Scratch, you're going to
$3 per pack.
It's enough. I mean, but yeah, that's it. What are you on to these days? Are you still on Scratch?
I actually don't use Scratch. I do Tailwind primarily. Mm. And then, I do like Morton.
All right.
That's another one of those. It's expensive. You go to buy it and it's like, why would I spend this much on gel? And then you think, well, I wouldn't race this race without my $200 shoes. So would I spend $7 on fueling myself during this race? Yes. Yes, I would.
Yeah. You saw people, there's like a big, I don't know if it's still being a push. I still see stuff pop up on my Instagram feed, like in the Explore tab, but like maple syrup, you know, people are on the maple syrup train, or they were for a while, but it makes me nauseous. If I take it on an empty stomach, it's too sweet or something, and then I end up feeling a little queasy.
Too concentrated.
Yeah, it doesn't work for me.
Yeah.
All right.
Everyone has their palate and their stomach. And it's unique. It's like a fingerprint. Some things are just going to line up on it nicely and some are not. And so I always prefer less.
Yeah, you went away from anything but liquid nutrition a couple of years ago, I believe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to the point where if I can't find what I need, I'll go get gels and then I will just shake them up and blend them up into water and make my own drink mix because it is just better for me.
That works. Is that your list of questions?
All right. And are we going to see the debut of a running public race top, or is this shirtless Kirk we're seeing?
That's so funny you ask. Before we hopped on, I was scrolling through the weather by the hour to see what the temps would be as the morning heats up. Bracken is just a sweetheart and has gifted me some running public's customized swag. And one of those is a running public singlet. I'm a little chesty. So it really makes me feel like a bodybuilder in it, kind of. It hugs me tight, which I like. I'm a little chesty.
You got a slit. You know how it's got that, what do you call it? I can't even think of the term.
A hole?
The edge of it.
Yeah, it's, like the seam? No,
like the actual sleeve. Yeah, but it's like it's thicker.
Sure.
It's like that hemmed edge, but it's double hemmed or something.
Sure.
If from like right about mid pec to just to your lats, you cut the seam off of it. It gives you a bit more flex and breathability.
So you're saying you cut the seam by your riblet. right there.
Yeah, you start there and you cut. You just cut the actual hemmed part off.
Oh, you actually just trim the hem part off. Oh, I don't want
to. I trim the actual hem of it off. And then it sits lighter on you. It doesn't rub. And then it expands a little bit more.
I don't want a nip popping out on me on chorus bracken. It's inappropriate.
Everyone's got them.
That's true. Everybody does have
them. Some people have two.
Some people have three. Think about that.
That's just an abundance of riches.
My grandfather, rest in peace, good man, had like a mole perfectly in line with his, like one of his nipples. And I mean, I believed him for the longest time that it was his third nipple and da-da-da, but kids are gullible. I still like to believe it because it's fun. But I think I'm going to wear,
you got to believe in miracles.
You really do. I'm thinking of wearing the running public. It's a sweet, sweet deal. And so I think I'll probably, if it's warm enough, otherwise I'll wear a t-shirt, some sort of performance tee. But that's it. I'm going to go with either the Nike Aero Swift tights or a pair of my Virus, which are Old Faithful. And did I tell you that you owe me a pair of Aero Swift tights, by the way? You owe me a pair.
Are you charging me like you're charging Marquette for telling you about the Saucony deal?
No, I'm charging you because you ruined a pair of my shorts. And I had to order a second pair. Think about it.
I don't know what that means.
So my qualm, you know, Bracken and I, we got more quads on us than the typical runner. And they sit tight, like they grab pretty tight. The bottom lining of the Nike Aero Swift tight, which is a fantastic performance tight. And I love their full tights as well. And they just grab just tight enough where I'm like, it's a little restricting how it grabs my quad. And I told this to Bracken, and Bracken says, oh, you got to grab.
Did you try popping some seams?
Bracken says, you got to grab them with your hands and yank the seams open. Well, the Hulk over here ripped it so hard, I ripped it all the way up the hip. So it's like a floppy golf skirt on one side. I put too much muscle
into
it. It's
like a $60 rip.
70. 79.
70. Oh.
So, Bracken.
Well, that's what you get for being so burly and strong, Kirk.
Well, I was tugging on it. Tugging. I wasn't feeling anything give. It was like giving me a firm pushback. I wasn't feeling the rips. I'm like, you know what? It needs a little more girth. And I did it. And it, I mean, a 12-inch rip all the way up the whole thing. I split them. And that was your recommendation.
That was.
So anyways, check. You know my Venmo, so.
Yes. Well, Kirk, you have to get going.
Yeah, I got a couple minutes if we need to.
You got to get to work. You got to taper. You got to get some carbs in you. And you got to get ready to race.
Yeah, I'm not too worried about that. But thank you. What are you doing this weekend? Do you have a training session planned or anything that people should know about?
Yeah. Tomorrow morning, Marcus Wallace, the machine, and I are getting together for a Hyrox workout in Milwaukee. And then this weekend, track opens. Track setup day is Saturday, and then first non-point series structured practice race is Sunday. So we got to have the cart ready to rock, and Braden gets to test the outdoor waters for the first time. And this becomes my life for the foreseeable future.
It's like if your kid picks like race car driving or like some sort of BMX, not BMX, but like dirt biking or like horseback riding. Mm-hmm. Like if you want to pick like the financial things that you wish they wouldn't pick because they just are money pits, it would be like racing, motorsports, and like horses. And so hopefully one of your daughters doesn't pick horses is what I'm getting at. Otherwise we're going to have to start a Patreon. Yeah.
Or hopefully one
that's it.
One of the kids starts making us money sometime soon.
Oh, that's true. This could, when he's at Daytona ripping circles, you'd be getting it on the back end, I guess.
Yeah, we'll be several six figures deep by that point if he makes it that far.
So let's do this. Let's put your coach's hat on real quick. If I were one of, and then we'll end this thing. If I were one of your athletes, and you knew the circumstance, it is exactly what I told you about my race this weekend. But I was like, just looking for. I was like, how should I approach this, Bracken? What do you think? Like, what would be any parting advice? Like, would it be as simple as like, hey, you know what to do, go do it, or would you? What would be advice for an athlete in a two-hour trail race?
I think you do know what to do when you go do it, but one of the hardest ways of racing is for time because it changes the exertion level or the relaxation level of that exertion. And so my hope for athletes who are shooting for time is that you're on track by around halfway, but you don't have to get on track until halfway. Mm. That it doesn't mean you have to be on track from mile one. You have to be on track by mile like 9 or 10. so that you have some momentum building. You've been shifting gears up rather than just hanging on, trying not to shift down. And so that would be my only advice to you. You got everything else set. Your fitness is good. Your feeling is set. You're going to have a bouncy pair of awesome shoes. It is, don't throw away the race in the first 3 miles. Not that you've been known to do that on the trails.
Yeah. That's exactly my plan. Feather the gas all the way through the second climb. There's four major climbs, and then I can press it down firmly from there, about mile 9. So you echoed exactly my race plan. Yeah. All right. It's good advice. Yeah.
Perfect.
A minute too fast on the front end can bleed 4 minutes on the back end, and that's not the way to do it. So we're on the same page.
Yeah. And like you said, you have 4 miles where you could be running 5:20 pace at the end or 7-minute pace.
Yes.
And that's a big swing.
Big swing. Yeah. All right, brother. Well, folks, sorry this is a little shorter one. We were just going to do Bracken and I today. We were going to get to some Q&A stuff and have a little fun with it, but we can push it back. So you got time to sneak more Q&As in our inbox if you would like for whenever we do this again. So go follow us on YouTube. I would say any episode suggestions you have coming up, we're about to end our mini-series on how to run your best X or Y. So we're going to probably either kick off a new mini series or dive into individual topics. If there's anything you want to hear, shoot it to our Running Public IG message. So let us know. We're open for input there. So that's about all I have.
Have a great weekend. See you next week.